I was talking to Charette today. We were talking about prayer. Most of the time, the weakest area in your church is prayer. Did you know that? It's prayer. I could tell you a lot of things, but we're gonna finish up part of the lesson. But I found these a few days ago. These are quotes about prayer. This one was by John Bunyan. He said, "Prayer is a shield to the soul, a sacrifice to God, and a scourge for Satan." Did you hear that? It's a shield to the soul, a sacrifice to God, and a scourge for Satan. Martin Luther said this, "The fewer the words, the better the prayer." The fewer the words. Oswald Chambers said this, "Prayer is an effort of will." That is so true. Arthur Hopkins said this, "Our prayer and God's mercy are like two buckets in a well." I'm going to read this one more time. "Our prayer and God's mercy are like two buckets in a well. While one ascends, the other ascends, the other one descends." Think about that a minute. One bucket going up, one bucket coming down. Here's what Spurgeon said. Spurgeon said, "If sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. If they will perish, let them perish with our arms about their knees. Let no one go there unwarned and unprayed for." Charles Spurgeon. A.W. Tozer said this, "It is because of the hasty and superficial conversation with God that the sense of sin is so weak, and that no motives have power to help you to hate and flee from sin as you should." Here's what Andrew Murray said, "Prayer is not monologue, prayer is dialogue. God's voice in response to mine is the most essential part." Corey Ten Boom said this, "Don't pray when you feel like it. Have an appointment with the Lord and keep it. A man is powerful on his knees." And Samuel Chadwick said this, "Prayer is the acid test of your devotion." Prayer, you think about that now, those for a moment. Now, last week we looked at... go ahead and open your Bibles up just for a minute. Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We looked last week at achieving the impossible. Is anything, let me ask you a question. Is anything impossible with the Lord? Is all things possible with Him? Now let me throw something else at you. Do we get everything we pray for? Does God always answer our prayers the way that we want them? But does He sometimes? Absolutely. And because of that very fact, we should pray. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3, in verse number 1, the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 3:1, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you." That's a prayer. When you think about what should we be praying? We ought to be praying for that God, that our prayers ought to be such that we want to see I could call it the kingdom of God forsake, but we want to see the Lord move. We want to see revival in this area. We want to see the Lord work in this area and work in this church, and we want to see God move in our nation. We want to see God move in our homes. We want to see those things. And prayer, honestly, nothing moves outside of prayer. See, God doesn't need us. Amen? God doesn't need us. I mean, God was fine, I'm sure, before we ever walked the face of the earth, whether we like that idea or not. But the truth of the matter is, God wants you to pray. He wants you on your knees in prayer. And I think sometimes we forget that. I like these things. Turn over to Matthew chapter 7. God wants us to ask. Look in Matthew 7. God wants us to ask. And in Matthew 7 and verse number 7, here's a very familiar verse. Matthew 7:7, what's the first word? Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Now, I will say this to you. It doesn't mean everything you pray for, you're going to get. I understand that, but I'll tell you something right now. God wants you to ask. Now turn over to Matthew 21, just a few chapters back. Matthew 21 and verse number 22. You'll see again, in all things whatsoever ye shall, what's the word again? asked how. In prayer, notice the next thing, believing you shall receive. Now, I got to be truthful with you. I have prayed a lot of prayers. I got to be honest with you. In the back of my mind, I'm thinking this ain't going to happen. You ever done that? Amen. Let's be honest. I'm saying, Lord, I don't think it's kind of like the asphalt plant. I mean, to be truthful with you, I thought, well, Lord, you know what? These folks got money. The parent company did $7 billion last year. I thought, if these folks want to build a plant over there on 40 acres of land, maybe my prayer was probably not too strong. But I want to tell you something. I believe God answered that prayer. Amen. I believe He answered your prayers. But the first thing about this, we're talking about advancing the things that God has. The first thing we need to do is ask. We need to ask. This just like revival next week. We need to be asking God to send a revival in this church. Some people say, well, you know what? Revivals are a waste of our time. Can I tell you something right now? Not to have revival is a waste of our time, because revival is needed so much in a church today. We get downtrodden in this world, in the pessimism that's just every which way you go, and we need to keep in mind, listen, God can send revival at Fannin Road Baptist Church, and we can see people saved. We can see lives changed. I had someone the other day say, well, marriages are in trouble. Can I tell you what revival can do? Revival can fix your marriage. Revival can put you back where you're supposed to be, and we ought to be praying. But you know, the other thing is, we need to be praying. We need to be asking, but we need to be praying in faith. Turn over to Mark. You're in Matthew. Just flip over to Mark chapter 9. Our faith many times is weak. We want to see in Mark chapter number 9, and I'll just read one verse, in verse number 29. Mark chapter 9, verse 29. And notice what he's speaking about his disciples there, and they couldn't cast out the demon there. But in verse 29, the Lord, he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by what? And what else? In fasting. I'll be honest with you. I got to be truthful with you. I can pray. This fasting thing, though, now that's another thing altogether. Amen? That's a tough thing to think about. I don't want you to raise your hand if you've ever fasted, praise the Lord. But I'll tell you something right now. Not to eat. I have to eat about 4 times a day. And I don't eat a lot, but I have to eat. And if I miss a meal, I get fairly weak. I mean, I eat lunch today, and before I come to church tonight, give me some chicken to put in the stove. I put some chicken in the stove and some potatoes, amen, and some green beans. I eat them boys around lunchtime today, and I got me another piece of chicken out about 4 o'clock, and got me another piece of potato out, and some more green beans, and 2 slices of bread, amen. And I eat that for supper tonight, and I gotta be truthful. I'm hungry right now. I'm gonna go home tonight and eat again, just to be honest with you. But you know something? Our faith, you know, we can pray, but we ought to pray in faith. We ought to pray knowing that God can, and ask God. Let me show you another verse. Turn over to Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9. Acts 9 in verse number 40. Notice here Peter in Acts 9, verse 40. But Peter put them all forth and knelt down and what? And turning him to the body said, Tabitha, arise. And what is it she did? She opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. I guarantee that'll get you your opinion there. But you notice Peter didn't do anything until he did what? Prayed, amen. And I think that, you know, Peter, of course, you got to keep in mind who he is. Let me show you another one. Turn to, and James is another one. This is a verse I often use here, and I'm sure I'll tell you tonight. This is a verse for your dad in chapter number 5. There's a couple verses in there, but in verse number 14, I want you to notice the prayer of faith. It's talking, is there sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray. Notice, let them pray over him, and anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of what? Shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he's committed sin, thou shalt be forgiven him. And he goes on to confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another that ye may be what? Healed. And then you'll see a word there, the effectual. That means the effective, fully adequate, fervent prayer of a righteous man does what? Here's our problem with our prayers. The righteous man element. Amen? The walking with the Lord. I want you to think about somebody tonight. If you were going to ask somebody to pray for you, who would it be? Now, I don't want you to answer tonight, but I guarantee you it's going to be somebody that you believe walks and talks with the Lord. I'm amazed at people. I get this sometime out here as your pastor and buddy. I mean, these guys will come to me with all kind of different things, and they're talking to me, but they've lived like the devil. I mean, whether it be drunkenness, drugs, whatever it happens to be, but I'm amazed. You know what? They'll come up to me and say, "Preacher, would you pray for me?" Now, why? The answer is because they're looking for somebody who can get in touch with God. They're looking for somebody that knows the Lord. And by the way, you know what? I'll tell you something. When your prayer life ain't what it's supposed to be, and you ain't where you're supposed to be with your prayer life, when you get ready to pray, it's like doing something you ain't never done before. I mean, it becomes difficult when you bow your head and you haven't been praying. You know, we are very much generated by problems. As long as everything is just kind of sliding along good, buddy, and there's plenty of money in the bank, there's plenty of food in the fridge, the car's running good. I mean, we got money in our pockets and we're doing good, buddy. Our prayer life is pretty weak. But you let everything start falling apart, and buddy, then. But you know, now I'm gonna go somewhere with this. Sometimes God will let things fall apart, so you'll come to where you're supposed to be. You'll get to where you're supposed to be. And I got to be honest with you, I don't like that part of it. But I'll tell you, sometimes we need that. We got to get to the place where there's absolutely nowhere else to go and nothing else to do. And the only place you can look up is this way, straight up. It's kind of like the kid that fell in the well, amen. And y'all have never heard the song before, but I do a song, and the name of the guy is Eddie Coochie Catch Comatose Neurotose Nama Semakama Wacky Brown. Y'all got that name? You got it? He fell into the well, he fell into the well, he fell into the deep, dark well. Well, that's the guy. Can you imagine when he fell into the well and he looks up there and he goes, "How am I going to get out of here?" That's not a good feeling, amen? How am I going to get out of here? Well, I got news for you. When you get into problems and you get into trouble, you've got to, number one, ask, and number two, pray in faith. And let me give you one more thing. You ought to do it with a heart and a soul of thanksgiving. Show me that one, preacher. I'm glad you asked. Turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 6. You know, most time our prayers are not with thanksgiving. Most time our prayers go like this: God, I need a new car. God, I need a job. God, I need, instead of saying, God, you know what, I need a new car, but thank you, Lord, for what I have. In the fact, you know what I need, and I'm asking you for it. But look in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 18. I got so many notes over in chapter 6 that I can't even hardly read it. But notice here, praying. You got that one? And I wrote a note here, this is a participle. And it means, you go back because of that, that it is a participle. Everything before it is dependent upon that word there, prayer. Go back and look at all the other stuff there. You know this is the portion there about taking on the armor of God, right? That participle says, guess what? All the stuff you got on you ain't worth 10 cents if you hadn't doing that first one. It says pray. You can have can I tell you something? You can have the best armor on in the world, and it ain't worth 10 cents without prayer. It ain't worth 10 cents without prayer. And it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Would to God that our church family would say, I'm praying for our little church over here on Fannin Road. I'm praying for our families at Fannin Road. We ought to do it with thanksgiving. Now, hold your place there and flip back to Philippians. Flip over to Philippians, if you would, just right down the street there, and to Philippians chapter number 4. And write this down right, but that's chapter 4. I wrote down chapter 1. It's chapter 4 and verse number 6 and 7. Be careful. It means anxious. For nothing. Oh, buddy, I don't believe that verse. You ever read that verse? No, but don't be anxious for nothing, Brother Wade. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. With prayer and supplication, and what's that third word? And thanksgiving. Ooh, y'all thought that was a holiday, didn't you? That Thanksgiving is a holiday, but Thanksgiving is something you ought to be doing every day of your life. You ought to be thanking God. Our prayers can do something, and I've got to close tonight. Prayers, well, we want to see things happen. We want to see God's word and God move in this city of Montgomery. Our prayers can be effective in places that we physically can't even go to. Let me ask you a question. Why don't we pray for our missionaries? Why don't we pray for brother? One of my friends is Hemet Patel. I've known him a long time. He is in India. Brother Patel is in India. Why don't we pray for Brother Patel in India? We can't go to India. Why don't we pray for him? Huh? That's right. But we can pray for him, can't we? And does God hear our prayers? Does he know we prayed for Hemet Patel tonight? I think sometimes, and this concerns me about our church. A lot of folks don't see the importance of Wednesday night. Lady come one day, I'll tell you who it is. I think she still goes here. And she said, well, it's prayer stuff, just wasting my time. That's what she told me. I said, bless your heart. Wasting your time. I didn't say this to her. I wanted to say, no wonder you are in the mess you are in. Because, see, we don't put any weight on prayer. You say, well, you know, we always want to do a lot of things because prayer is W-O-R-K. I love the movie War Room. I've talked about that. I enjoyed that movie so much, and that lady spoke to my heart. I would like to meet her one of these days. I'll see her in heaven, amen. But I hope she had a war room. The lady who played the part, I hope she's got one now, just to be honest with you. But prayer can intervene no matter where it happens to be. Secondly, this is why we must have prayer warriors in this church. This is why we've got to have them. I know my time has run out. Matthew chapter 6, and I got to cut this off tonight. Matthew chapter number 6. We've got to have warriors. Matthew 6 and verse number 5 and 6. Look at these verses. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not... Ooh, there is a big spider. My goodness. There he goes. He's gone now. Amen. I think it was one of them bee spiders. I'm not sure. It had a stinger. This is why we got to pray. In Matthew 6, verses 5 and 6, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the who? For they love to do what? Now, I got to stop right here. I'm going to tell you something. In a church, ours is small. The men, I call on men to pray. And when you get ready to call on some to pray, some of the men will do like this. Some of them will get up and go to the bathroom and do whatever, you know, because they say, that idiot's going to call on me to pray. I mean, I know that. They're going to call me to pray. The men won't tell you this, but, you know, and you know, think, well, it shouldn't be. But listen, I don't think too many in our church, but there are people that are what I call professional prayers. They have got prayers. They sound so eloquent. And by the way, they ain't getting beyond the ceiling of this room. He says here, don't be like the hypocrites that love to pray standing in our synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But look in verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, here we go, war room, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee how? Do you realize true prayer is not the preacher? True prayer is not the church. The real source of prayer is found right here. Those who know how to pray in their closets. I didn't say you got to go to a closet per se. You may go somewhere, but I do believe you need to go somewhere where you have absolutely no one there to distract you. It doesn't have to be a closet. It could be sitting in your car. It could be at a tree behind your house. It could be in a closet. I think Brother Ricky used to go in a closet, Miss Claudette. Remember that? He showed me that little trailer there. That little closet wasn't about that wide. I thought, buddy, I wouldn't go in there on a good day, amen. But he'd go in that little old closet and pray, amen. And we need that. That's real prayer, and we need warriors in our church that are prayer warriors. And you ain't got to go tell somebody. All you got to do is do it. Be on your knees tonight. I appreciate you being here this evening. We'll finish on up here next week. Let's all stand. I praise the Lord for y'all being in God's house tonight. Let's get these kids home, and hopefully we won't.